What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces. He doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere. Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Ever since Roswell, New Mexico, 1947, people have been talking about UFO disclosure. With hundreds of unexplained UFO encounters in Project Blue Book, countless eyewitness testimonies by high-ranking military officers, and hundreds of cases of abductions, how come in 2017 we have yet to see any real disclosure? In 2001, Dr. Stephen Greer gathered a group of highly respected professionals together to tell their encounters with UFOs. It was called the Disclosure Project, and was broadcast by the National Press Club. With so many high-ranking members of the military and private sector giving accounts of unexplainable events, and at the very peak of the crop circle phenomenon, it seemed like disclosure was imminent. However, shortly after, the events of 9/11 unfolded, and with it, a media blackout on the UFO phenomenon. But Dr. Stephen Greer didn't stop. His documentary, Sirius, which aired in 2013, was widely viewed, highly criticized, and controversial with his claims of finding a real extraterrestrial specimen. And now, in 2017, we have his newest documentary, Unacknowledged, which expands on the claims made in Sirius and presents a host of new material. The film is packed with testimonies of eyewitnesses, government insiders who claim ET knowledge, and videos, although grainy, show UFOs. But is the lack of hard evidence, such as alien craft or HD video, enough reason to dismiss the claims entirely? Or is the amount of circumstantial evidence presented by highly respectable people just too great to ignore?
Welcome to Ancient Aliens, case file 55.
What?
Was it 55? Was it 55?
Ancient Aliens.
Ancient Aliens?
Ancient Aliens? What did I say?
You said ancient aliens.
Shit.
We're getting sued.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Oh, God. Ancient alien theorists. I didn't say the whole thing.
You still didn't say it right.
There's no ancient. That's why I don't do it.
There's no ancient. You fucking panicked.
I wasn't thinking. You just said go.
This is not getting edited out. No. Hell no.
This is the end.
He does that all the time. He's such a prick.
My only friend, the end.
Welcome back, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back to his first regular case file in a while.
Anyways,
I guess I'll go. Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing. That's modern day alien theorizing. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
Are you gunshy now, Dan? Are you worried? Are you scared to say something?
I already introduced myself.
Okay, say I'm Dan.
Oh, brutal.
Sam, Dan.
And Andrew's here too. What a good start today, guys. Unbelievable.
I don't know. I usually go last. I was waiting.
Andrew always waits.
Yeah, I know. Andrew's waiting to say something like, I am disappointed.
No, I was going towards, I feel like a bag of smashed assholes, because I do.
Okay, well, here it is. We're case file 55. No, 56. Yeah, we're 56. Sorry.
So you fucked up,
I
too?
I fucked it up.
Oh, my God.
I told Dan it was 55.
Fuck. You guys. Abort.
This is going downhill.
Hold on. Okay, wait. Ryan fucked it up.
Yeah.
Zelly fucked it up. Re-record.
Yeah.
I always leave it in, boys. Don't you worry. Okay. Oh, Jesus, shit. What a horrible start.
What are we
start.
Even doing here?
What happened tonight?
We're off to a stellar start tonight.
Well, case file, I think we should it's case file 56.
We should just end this one right
just
now.
Just call it.
Just start with case file 57.
All right.
Skip over. This is the last episode.
Just redo it.
I haven't listened to the Carlwood one yet, but it's on my list now because I couldn't be on it. I was busy.
Busy north of the wall working.
Yeah.
Doing whatever job you do up there, no one even knows. So.
Yeah, can't tell you. Secret. Top secret.
All I know is he probably could have been on the podcast and nobody would have even fucking noticed.
Probably.
Ooh.
Most people
didn't notice.
Yeah.
That's most case files, I think.
You know, no one yet has messaged me and be like, hey, why wasn't Brayden on that one?
Oh.
It was just been like, oh, great case file. We loved Greg. We loved everyone else, but no, nothing but Brayden.
Yeah, well. You know, I was the brightest flames burn out the fastest. I don't know.
And by the by, this is Brayden's last podcast.
are you retiring?
You're done.
Let's get right into the UFO case file of the week. I've got the Randomatron all queued up here.
Load it up.
Yeah, I'm going to push the button right now.
And stop.
Wow. Incredible as always. Listen to that purr. Holy fuck. I always pick hard ones to read. Belo Horizonte, Brazil.
Horizonte, Brazil?
Belo Horizonte, Brazil.
Belo Horizonte.
Just roll something on it and it'll sound right.
Brazil. One of the most extraordinary Brazilian contact cases dates from May 1969, when the witness, Jose Antonio da Silva, was fishing near Belo Horizonte. Da Silva noticed figures moving behind him and appears to have been struck by a beam of light, causing some paralysis and forcing him to his knees. Two humanoids of approximately 4 feet in height, wearing matte silver suits with masks covering their faces, abducted Da Silva on to I imagine they're doing like the worm, like up to him, like a little robot walk.
Fucking right. That's exactly what I was doing.
It's always the silver suits.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Always with the silver suits. With masks covering their faces, abducted Da Silva onto a landed craft resembling an upright cylinder. The craft then took off, and Da Silva appears to have undergone symptoms similar to the pressure of acceleration and G-force, i.e. pressure and physical weariness, numbness, and increased relative weight.
Like
during this flight, Da Silva was wearing a helmet given to him by one of his abductors. After the crime, put this on.
You'll need this.
You're going to need this. Yeah. After the craft landed, Da Silva was blindfolded and taken into a large room, some 30 feet by 40 feet, where he encountered another entity. This new entity was a dwarf covered in long red hair, with a long beard and a face similar to a gnome and a troll-like descriptions in Europe.
You're making this part up.
No, I'm not.
Fuck me.
He
turned into Lord of the Rings real quick.
He had thick eyebrows, pale skin, and large greenish eyes. He was joined in the room by many other similar creatures. The room
a half
in which
orc and a dragonborn.
this is a good lead into the after hours we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, it is.
The room in which Da Silva described finding himself in virtually unique to UFO literature. It seemed it was made of stone. Around the walls were paintings of animals and other Earth scenes, more common to UFO reports. Da Silva stated that the lighting in the room was very bright, but he could not discern the source. One particularly unpleasant sight which greeted Da Silva suggested a sinister motivation on the part of the entities. Da Silva believed he saw on a shelf near him corpses of four humans.
Oh, shit.
Ooh.
The entities took from him many of the articles he had with him, presumably as specimens. These included flies for fishing and currency notes. Like, give us these flies and give us your money. De Silva engaged in conversation with the entities, and it appears they attempted to get him to spy on Earth on their behalf, or possibly to be their emissary on Earth.
De Silva refused.
Oh, ballsy.
He also reported undergoing some religious revelations, but has never disclosed of what nature. What? It's like, yeah, I had some religious revelations. They're like, oh, yeah, like what? He's like, I'm not telling. There was one time, however, when some brawling between the brackets gnomes and De Silva was brought to an end by the intervention of a Christ-like figure.
Oh, God.
Holy smokes.
So this is cool. This is
he's like, some gnomes are fighting, and Jesus comes, and he's like, hey, guys, enough of this. The event ended when he took off again and landed elsewhere. De Silva finding himself more than 200 miles away from where he had been. Even more strangely, over 4 days had apparently passed since the abduction had begun.
Sure, he didn't just That's fucking lick a frog while he's fishing and just tripped out for a few days.
Was that a game of Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Fuck, he was everywhere.
Dungeon Master Dan.
And then Jesus showed up.
So he got taken on this UFO. He's seen a dwarf.
How do we know they didn't just take him to Middle Earth or some shit?
I'm picturing Gimli.
Yeah,
I'm picturing Gimli on this craft.
And then the fucking
one ring to rule them all.
Travelocity gnome later on. Scrap.
All right, guy was abducted by silver suited aliens again.
Then saved by space Jesus.
Taken to space. Seen a dwarf. Oh, I don't know. I got lost in it somewhere.
And then space Jesus.
There was lots of other dwarfs. They stole his flies.
Yeah. They mugged him.
Fishing rod. They took the flies and his cash.
What jerks.
And sounds like the guy was just fucking stoned and got jacked up.
A couple gnomes came and gnomes were fighting with him. And fucking hobo Jesus came and broke it up.
Yeah.
This guy ate about probably 5.5 grams of mushrooms.
It must have.
Yeah.
And then just went on a journey. That's what happened. But anyways, that's entertaining.
You hear lots about the silver suits.
The silver suits is a common theme.
Always silver suits.
I don't know why. In all the stories I've said silver suits, they've never once mentioned silver suits again or like the same silver suit aliens. It's always aliens wearing silver suits, but they never make the connection. So I don't know. It's weird.
Mm. Well, let's move on to some more exciting space news. I don't want to talk about that right away. Should we talk about this right into the SpaceX launch?
The supposed SpaceX launch. It's gonna sound like Sean Connery.
This is SpaceX honestly. Launch.
I was gonna say Admiral Akbar from.
Oh yeah,
it's a trap! It's a trap! It's a trap!
SpaceX launch. Like our feeds are.
What?
Our feeds are blowing up with everyone sending us videos of this supposed rocket launch. I've watched it. It's absolutely incredible to watch because
it's so cool.
First off, it's not making any kind of rocket like I've seen in the field. This is completely alien. There's like an orb following behind the initial one that's like spinning but following it at the same time and like doing weird pulses.
Yeah, okay. So what they're saying is it's a two-stage Falcon 9 booster lifted off from Vandenberg Air Force Base, I guess, in California. That was at 8:27 Pacific time. So just like 20 minutes ago from when we're recording right now.
This is some fresh space news.
Yeah, this is happening as we speak.
This is fucking breaking space news.
Breaking space news!
Fucking, it's fucking cool. And everyone's been tagging us in this video of this It's some type of, it kind of looks like it has a missile like exhaust on it though, right? But in the exhaust, there's this weird orb. It's like spinning around,
moving and spinning, and then it pulsates. And then people have sent us a bunch of pictures of it, like from California, like some of our fans who are down there. And there's pictures with three orbs in it, and clearly three orbs in the picture. It's so weird. Like like Andrew, you sent me this. You're the first person to have sent me this.
I broke that shit.
Like, oh, that's so weird. And then like within 10 minutes, there's reports like, oh, good SpaceX launch, another successful one. I was like, how come I didn't hear about this before?
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, usually I get usually see an update with SpaceX launched this weekend or something, right?
Yeah, planning to launch whatever. Yeah, but it looks so alien compared to we're used to the stereo, stereotypical, the launches from, why can't I think of the place in Florida there? Cape Canaveral, right? Where you get the big puff, the white straight up, right? This is like going across the sky, which is so weird to me.
Yeah, it does look like it's going horizontal to the horizon almost.
Yeah. It doesn't look like it's hitting space. It looks like it's going yeah.
Because usually the rocket goes, it'll go straight up off the ground, then it'll slowly drift whatever way it's leaving the atmosphere, and it'll go out but it's not on a 180 degree, a perfect, or a 90 degree, perfect angle with the horizon. It's always up a bit. This one looks weird.
Yeah, it's something else. A lot of weird ones. I got to give a quick shout out to, I don't even know how to pronounce, Young Pharaoh on Instagram and Senpai Saurus. I don't know. But those two guys sent us a bunch of pictures and video. They're all absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for sending them. And at Kevin's Girl 1984 sent us all these videos and stuff. It's absolutely, I've watched 10 different videos. It's absolutely spectacular.
It's really cool, actually. Yeah, I don't know. They're claiming it's a Falcon 9 rocket, Falcon 9 booster, and it's lofting 10 communication satellites.
Is Elon Musk claiming that that's what it is, or
this is this
who's
on,
saying it?
This is on space.com, where I get a lot of my space news. So yeah, it's saying it's making 10 Iridium NEXT satellites back in June. It launched the same thing back in June. So this is the second launch of the same thing. So yeah, I don't know.
So they should have similar footage from when they launched it the first time.
You think so? Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, it's pretty funny. Elon Musk 3 hours ago said launch underway, T minus 60 seconds until launch. Then he said, I love Twitter. Then he said 2 hours ago, nuclear alien UFO from North Korea. And he tagged the SpaceX launch. So.
That's funny. Yeah. That's pretty much the only space news that it took over my feed. So that's all I really wanted to talk about. It's fucking cool.
I've watched, like I said, 10 videos. If you haven't seen the videos yet, look, the orb behind it, just, it's so weird to watch. It looks so alien.
I wonder what the explanation for the orb is, if they're saying that's just in the exhaust, what's causing the orb to spin and
Well, okay, I remember we've kind of reviewed two other videos like this in the past. And one was, I thought one was some sort of missile.
Yeah,
that kind of looked like that.
It was that Trident rocket or something. I can't remember what they called it.
Yeah, that Trident rocket or whatever that left that same kind of blue hue.
Yeah.
And then we've looked at that other one where it spiraled that back orb is, and it was a satellite losing fuel. I remember that was the claim of that one.
Right.
Do you remember it was over Russian skies and it slowly just spun? But it just looks so alien. You want it to be something else so bad.
Yep.
Anyone got any other space news?
No, that's all I wanted to talk about.
That's the big one.
That was the big one, just because it just happened right now, and the other stuff, nothing too great.
That I think we talked about it a while ago. That Oumuamua coming in.
Oumuamua, yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're looking at it for radio signals and stuff now, just to make sure it's to see if it's alien in nature.
Well, yeah, that's what. So that was, it was like 2 weeks ago that they first spotted it.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, different accounts now, but what I thought it was that it's now gone. But they were looking for radio signals from it.
Yeah, but I don't know what came of that.
It's weird that because it was tumbling end over end. It wasn't going like in a straight line like you think a spaceship would. So some people were claiming that it was like, oh, it's definitely an alien spaceship from a different solar system. Like, why would it be tumbling? And it didn't really have any intelligent course. It just kind of just went through. But we have there's some pictures and some people claim that, no, that's definitely an alien armada. So stand by. We'll see what happens. That'd be fucking cool, though.
I'm just end over end rocks, like the least cool way of flying through space.
Well, they think they're real alien ships tumbling like that. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me either, but who knows?
That's all I had for space news.
Sweet. All right. After our horrible intro.
Disastrous intro.
I don't even actually think we said what we're talking about.
I don't think we did either.
Anyways, we're talking about pretty much some UFO disclosure. We all watched, or almost all of us watched. Dr. Stephen Greer's Unacknowledged, which came out back in April. I've watched it a couple times now, but now with like all these, like you had this article in the New York Times saying that the Pentagon had a UFO investigation program to like right now, and the guy came out and blew the whistle on it. And you have this movie Unacknowledged, and you have like, it seems like more UFO news in the mainstream than normal. So I thought it'd be a good time just to talk about it.
Where do we want to kick it off?
Shit, I don't know. Unacknowledged. Let's talk about Dr. Stephen Greer, the guy who made it.
All right.
So this guy, I guess he was a trauma surgeon back in the 90s. And through a series of events, you got to, for anyone who hasn't watched this movie, like, well, obviously spoilers, but not really spoilers in a documentary, but go watch it. He was a trauma doctor in the 90s, and through a series of events, he was claims to be brought onto the panel to be an advisor to like high-ranking officers about UFOs. And then in 2001, he gathered like a group of 20 military and Air Force pilots and like officers, and he formed something called the Disclosure Project. And before the National Press Club, which was the most televised and watched event at the National Press Club in history, all these guys went up and gave their testimonials of UFO encounters, either in their spacecraft or as a radar detector or as like an operator of a nuclear base. And they all just go up and like pretty much say like, UFOs are real. These are our accounts. Like, obviously I can't say what it is, but it was not anything of our military or any other military we knew of. It flew erratically. It behaved erratically. It like would come in and out of radar. And they're like, we have no fucking idea. And this is back in 2001. And then shortly after this, September 11th happened. And then this story pretty much got buried and was kind of lost for about 10 years. And then Stephen Greer, through his like UFO investigations, he made a movie, I think it was in 2009, called Sirius. And it was pretty much about disclosure, and that they had found a tiny alien. Like, they actually think they found a tiny alien. They think it might have flown in one of these orb ships. Like, one of these UFO orbs, the small orbs. And they did. They did DNA testing and stuff, and they're like, oh, it's for sure not from Earth. And then other people debunked it, like, well, for sure it is from Earth, or it's fake, one of the two. And it went back and forth, and everywhere it was kind of always just left in limbo of what this creature was. But the pictures of it, it looks like a fucking alien. It looks like
Atacama humanoid.
Yeah, it looks like an 8-inch little human with a giant forehead.
It looks exactly like that little dude
in the Men in
that
Black.
Pops out of the Men in Black. That guy's head, it's like, it's on Orion's belt. You know what I'm talking about?
That guy. It kind of looks like that fucking alien. And that guy was like in this little...
Did he do this after the movie?
Of course he did.
Fucker.
But, so that was... It was never proven or disproven, I guess, depending on who you talk to. So, like, no one really knows. And then in 2016, he started getting all his facts together for this new documentary called Unacknowledged. And it's just like it's a big cluster of all these UFO researchers and for like eyewitnesses and all this stuff giving their accounts and pretty much saying that UFOs are real. They've been coming here for a long time. There's astronauts on there giving their accounts, and
it's crazy that you have astronauts that are like who like the one guy I can't remember his name now, who's the sixth man on the moon or whatever.
Well, there's been numerous astronauts. We're talking about
the guy who walked on the moon. I can't remember his name now. I just watched, and he's just like, yeah, there's bases on the backside. There's like towers. Like radar looking dishes.
Yeah, I have heard that before. I can't actually pull up to which astronaut it is, but it's been like Edgar Mitchell, Brian O'Leary, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, Gordon Cooper. Like all these guys who have been in space or been on the moon. A lot of them, some of them say they believe in UFOs, but they haven't seen one. And some say like legit UFOs up there and bases on the moon. And I think was it Buzz Aldrin who said that there's the monolith on Mars, Mars's moon. He's like,
when
people find that, find out that, they're going to be like, who the fuck put that there?
You're like, he's also 1,000 years old. That's what probably I mean. Senile, so I don't know.
But that's what I mean. Like, with stuff like this, like, how do you... like?
Apparently that little alien that he claims he found has been proven to be a human fetus.
Sure. I mean, that's super weird, but...
he's packing around a little fetus. Hey, check this out.
It's a pretty weird head for a fetus, though.
You guys want to see this alien? Little fucking fetus. That's fucked. You can't do that. You can't have a fetus in your pocket.
It's fucking, it's little Voldemort.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Little fetus under the fucking train station bench.
Nikini.
Fuck.
Big ass head.
Fucking fetus. Ugh.
I'm looking at that little structure of the Mars monolith. It's casting a shadow. Actually, it's super fucking weird.
Well, like just... he said it, like, a lot of astronauts have said weird shit about space, and everyone's like,
why trust the guys that have been there?
Right? So, I don't know. It's just...
It's absolutely mind-blowing that guys like this will say stuff like that, and everyone's just kind of like, meh.
Well, the one creepy thing I thought is they got that one audio recording of what was supposedly like Neil Armstrong, like talking to Mission Control. And he's like, oh, we've got visitors again. And then Mission Control is just like, okay.
Like, no, yeah, he said like, oh, like, Houston, we have a bogey. We have a Santa Claus. Like, oh, man. Oh, like, yeah, there's other ships up here. Oh, man, they're big. Like, he was like pretty much saying there's another intelligent craft up there.
And this was just randomly leaked, or?
Well, this was on the medical channel, switched to the medical channel, and this supposedly leaked later, like 30 years later. But it's got to be, I don't know, it's all classified, right? Who knows?
It's all classified. Well, how do you even know
that it's actual? That's actual.
Yeah, but okay,
recording.
Like why? So why? I don't. But why do all these astronauts say that stuff?
Why do they not deny the existence? Or?
No, why do they actually say there's UFOs? Why would
have they said I fucking saw a UFO?
Have.
Yeah.
100%. Go search up. There's been like probably 15 astronauts go on public TV or on like in newspapers.
And they're just fucking like buried. Nobody is just like, you think this would be fucking all over everything.
You think it would be. And probably in the back in the day, it probably was for about 3 days. Right. That always with the big news stories, ones that they don't want heard, kind of like the Vegas shooting lately. It's on there for a week.
Net neutrality kind of fucking neutralized all that shit.
Well, that's nothing's changed from that yet. That just that could still be changed. Like, who knows about that? But like these big stories are good for a week, and then they drop off, and then everyone just forgets, man. They forgets, and then you go read these stories later, and you're like, that was a top headline story, and that was it.
Were those ever top headline stories though? I don't know.
I like this. Andrew has no idea. So he's the devil's advocate.
Well, maybe he's just like, maybe they're all just like, you know what? We were fucking so sweet when we were astronauts. Everybody fucking loved us. It's been a while since I've been in space. I feel like everybody's forgetting I was a sweet astronaut. And maybe I need to spice things up a little bit. Get my name in the news. Saw a couple aliens. No big deal.
Yeah. Fucking Edgar Mitchell walked on the room. He walked in the room.
Holy fuck. Sit down.
He walked in the room, just said to me, did you gotta catch a he walked on the moon. Like you gotta think, guys who are chosen for this, like, they're probably not fucking jackasses. They're probably go through some pretty rigorous screenings and stuff.
You think so?
Yeah.
Right? And he says like, we see the ships all the time.
Yeah, man.
These are traveling astronauts. Space. I am fully confident aliens are watching us. I don't know how many and where, how they do it, but they're watching us. We see the ships at all times. That's what he says about traveling in space. And everyone's like, ah.
Yeah.
Sure you do. Crazy.
He's only an astronaut. You know, he's got perfect 20/20 vision. You know,
yeah, they, so they,
these people are.
The Stephen Greer
they're,
guy.
They're not only soldiers, like they're not, they're trained like aeronauts or whatever. These guys, they fly jets and things like that. They're also scientists, you know, they go up there. It's not just like you're sending a jet pilot into space. He's also a scientist. Most of them have like medical credentials or something, or at 100%. Least they've been trained in some sort of things like that, engineering experience or something like that. And you get these guys, these are credible people. These are people that you could believe if they said, I saw this. This is what I saw, and I've never seen anything do that. And we see them all the time. And you can, I mean, like you said, it just gets buried. Like nobody really believes them, I guess. I mean,
sees them all the time while he's on the moon
in space.
He's in space.
Since in space.
He's like, since traveling through space, I am confident that aliens like exist.
Why didn't you take a fucking picture?
Where's
the proof?
That is the age old question, right?
Well, like, they don't carry their iPhones on them
when they're
I could take a picture of this, but you know what? I'm an astronaut and I'm really credible, so I'm just gonna, you know, they're gonna take my word for it. It's fine. No, I want to see some fucking proof. I don't buy it.
What about all the videos from the space station that show intelligent craft? You ever watch them?
No. Where are they? On fucking like, buried YouTube videos?
You could watch them live. There's been a lot of live ones. I don't know. There's too small of a thing. You can't actually see a ship, so you never know.
What?
Just use some deductive reasoning. If there's these astronauts and they're in space and they come back and they're like, there's UFOs. They don't get any money or fame from it.
So what
they put their thing on the line. Their career on the line to say like, hey man, it's UFOs.
Well, obviously they haven't done that to put their career on hold because nothing fucking happened with it. Like
it's always 25 years classified, right? Your clearance. Not always. I don't know if that's actually, there's always like a classified period after you leave those programs, right? Where you legally can't talk about it. Or you go to jail.
So they don't say anything for 25 years.
So when they're like 55, 60, when they're retired, these guys come out and talk about it. So it's either they're all doing it for money.
So
there's only two options. You're all doing it for money and fame. And to get recognition for something that is not real. Or they're all like, there's something weird up there, and we don't know what it is.
And now this is a staggering amount. Like, out of the percentage of everybody who's been to space, there's a staggering amount of these people now saying that I've definitively seen.
What's a staggering amount?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm asking you. Like, what's the percentage, do you think?
Let's
say out of 50 people went to space, how many people are saying I fucking...
Let's say there's been 100 in space.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's been more or less. I don't know. Maybe 100 seems right. 15 astronauts, so 15%. Is that too?
Yeah, no, that's
pretty high, isn't it?
I wouldn't. Yeah, and I wouldn't say that all of the astronauts are going to see this stuff because it's like, you know, they're doing stuff up there. There's maintenance tasks and things. Their attention's not going to be like staring out at space all the time. I mean, I'm sure they just like kind of ignore it. But if you happen to like look outside at one point and they catch something, that's, you know, it's like catching a shooting star. It's not everybody's going to see it, you know, maybe like 5%. I don't know how many people. It's like 15% of people in the world have like seen UFOs or something like that. I mean, it doesn't seem like that much, but it's a lot of people.
Well, if you're in space and you're flying around on the satellite or like on the ISS or you're on the ship and you're like going, you're traveling like 20,000 kilometers an hour almost, right?
Yeah.
But you're only doing it over a certain like path, right? You can't see that far. So you can really, not going to see like the whole sky. So if there's like UFO flying, the chances of you actually maybe seeing it are maybe pretty low.
And it's not like they have windows all over the place.
Yeah, they have tiny little
windows.
So the chances of that and then the chances of always seeing them out there seem pretty slim to me.
But listen,
Buddy's saying, six
of 12 men who have walked on the moon have come forward saying they believe and have seen aliens. And that's not including Buzz Aldrin or Neil Armstrong.
So that's like eight.
That would be eight. Yeah.
And those two guys,
Buzz Aldrin
didn't even really go to the moon.
Yeah. Maybe
they didn't. Maybe it's all a sham.
Right.
Maybe the Earth is flat.
No.
And that's a hard no from the crew here. Anyways, that's just one of the points of the video is like, there's astronauts on like the quotes of the astronauts and the astronauts they're like video testimonies. But man, there must be like 20 or 30 guys on that video that are all saying it. And that's probably a very small percentage of the actual whole military, but that's only the ones who've come forward. Maybe some of the ones are like, it's no point. You either ruin your career or you're mocked and ridiculed.
Yeah, most of the people who like see these things, I mean, in the documentary, they get into it and it's really cool where they have a lot of guys come on. And it's like, I was in the military and it's, somebody tells you to do something or you didn't, or like, they're like, you didn't see that. And it's like, okay, I won't say anything. It's like, don't say that or you're going to get me in trouble. I'm like, okay, I won't say anything. So you have these things. They said they had one incident where they were tracking an object that was flying at incredible speeds, like covered the East Coast of the United States from like Maine to Virginia, like Norfolk, Virginia, in like a couple seconds. And they're saying it could be anywhere it wanted to. And they had these line of like radar bases along the East Coast, like tracking it. And then they just told by their superiors, like, just forget it. Don't say anything. You know, and you do. It's like most of them are low level guys. It's like they don't want to put their pension at risk, or if these guys are career military, like you don't want to say anything that'll get anybody in trouble or get you in trouble or things like that. It's just like you just pretend it didn't happen, or you'd be like, oh, it was a drill.
Right.
You know, it's kind of that kind of thing.
So now in the movie, it talks about how it's like kept so secret. And they go down into like that deep state, like kind
of
like
culture of secrecy or whatever that they're building or they built so far.
Yeah. Do you think you can explain that kind of, Dan, like with a military background, like how like stuff can get fragmented and like separated and hidden in so many different avenues that's impossible to find like the whole truth?
Yeah. They get into it really, really well. They talk about how basically there's like you have two different types of like secrecy, and there's one that is like national security, and then there's the other that's I want to say like kind of both military, corporate, like they talk a lot about the military industrial complex. And we've had multiple presidents warn us about the military industrial complex, which is basically the amalgamation of like high ranking military and their cooperation with industries, corporations now that help to perpetuate a kind of stasis, like, or not stasis, like what's the word I'm looking for here? They're trying to perpetuate they want a state of conflict where it's basically our entire economy, at least in the United States, our economy is based mostly on war.
Yeah.
Like the amount of people that the military employees, that the corporations, you got businesses like Booz Allen Hamilton, the Boeing, the Lockheed Martins. They don't just employ people like engineers and stuff. You got people who like clean their buildings. You got people who are building their facilities, construction works, and things like that. They are a large employer, and the cooperation between the military. Yeah, they want to keep things going. That the way that they are, and that what happened was they said like Roswell was like the first time, one of the first times that we got, or maybe before that, but Roswell was the first time that we got our hands on actual intact alien technologies. And when that happened, that these technologies, when they were they were broken down and people started to understand them and how they worked, and that the scientists realized that, okay, we have here, they told the people who were in charge of it, you know, you had your military uppers and stuff like that, and probably, you know, corporate people who are working with, you know, rocket development, or those people who worked in those companies, these Boeing companies and things like that. They're like, we just found an object on this craft that is capable of powering like the entire United States with virtually no emissions, no nothing. Like, you have power forever.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't
the companies were like, no, we don't want that getting out. And it's the same thing that they do. You see a lot with people who have patents. You've seen it through people like Tesla. Like whenever the military or the government finds something that's not going to make the money, those corporations that are not going to make the money, they shut it down. They're like, no, we will take that, you know, forget about it. And we will suppress that information and just keep it the way that it's going now because we're making the money. Those people who control those complexes, the people who are in charge, they don't let the secrets get out. You don't inform the people who you think would know about it, like your presidents. Like you wouldn't, the presidents wouldn't know about UFOs because they wouldn't tell them. Nobody will tell them because it's like this is a need to know information. It's above top secret. It's well, like you're a temporary employee. Yeah. You're only in power for 4 to maybe 8 years. You have minimum influence. Like, I mean, why would you tell somebody like President Trump, who's only won by like a slim margin? You know, it's like you're elected to your position. You're influenced by the public. That's you. But we are the complex. Like we're going to be here for life. These people who are in these things, we're going to be here a long
career,
time.
They're career politicians, but they're behind the scenes, right? So they're always in that position of power, and they don't. The only way like capitalism works is you got to keep the economy growing. So you can't take away all these like military industries, because if you do, 30% of the economy will collapse pretty quickly.
Yeah, capitalism works on the idea that there is disparity, that there is always going to be supply and demand, and it's like you almost have to keep inequality for capitalism to work. And some people are saying that's like the rise of like neoliberalism. It's basically that this is what is happening now. You have a lot of deregulation and things like that. And these companies are gaining more power in the way that they're structuring. I mean, you have things like the Disney Fox merger, you know, which is pretty big. And it's just like these companies are coming into control more and more of media outlets and things like that, that they don't already control.
Oh, fuck. We all know what Disney's about.
Yeah. Fucking Disney.
Fucking Disney. They always come up.
Yeah, but see, I already know now. I listened to Tom DeLong. He told me that Roswell has all to do with the Nazis. So I know this now. So I can call bullshit on all that.
Tom DeLong is...
There's nobody that knows science more than a fucking rock star, okay?
Fuck yeah.
The guy's a fucking rock star. He knows what he's talking about.
Right. I'm pretty sure, like, if there were at least the documentary implies that people were saying that we had contact not with extraterrestrials but maybe extraterrestrial technology, and that during World War II, like Hitler was big into that stuff and building these craft that mimicked or some part of the extraterrestrial technology that they had somehow gotten their hands on.
Well, their technology was fucking light years ahead of us.
They were.
Yeah, it really didn't make sense. That kind of stuff.
You know what I mean?
It did make sense,
No, they were so fucking far ahead of us and everybody else that it just, like, you know what I mean? How, like, what, are they just smarter out there? I don't understand.
Well, that's what the conspiracy is, that they found ET technology either from an ET source or they found, like, I don't know, ancient plans or an ancient craft or whatever it was, and they reverse engineered it before. Yeah. And if, because at the end of the war, if they were just developing the Glocka, right? Supposedly.
Yeah, that was towards the end. Yeah.
And if they would have got that, like that technology mastered, then no one would have stood a chance.
I guess that kind of ties into like paperclip and shit like that, right? Like that's why they recruited these fucking guys. And that's why nobody needed their help to create Steve Rogers. The super soldier. Yeah,
Wernher von Braun, the guy who was in charge of like the V2 development of the V2 rocket, this guy who pretty much put US into space, was brought over during Operation Paperclip. And they've said that he has claimed on multiple occasions that we have had contact with extraterrestrials. We know they're out there. And it's like we have technology to build stuff to go beyond, but we can't do it. It's just that the government won't let us. I don't know if he mentioned the government, but he says he's like, he knows we're not alone. The documentary has at least one person claims that was when he was making his rounds, is close to death. He's making those things. He's like, there are more out there.
Yeah. Well, guy Ben Rich, that was like the director of Skunk Works in charge of like the spy planes, and all that shit. Yeah. He said, and like just in like just a passing comment in interviews, like, we have the technology to send ET home. And everyone's like, what the fuck does that mean? He just kind of walked away.
Yeah. So, and like we said, it's hard to track these kinds of things, like these technological developments, these things like Skunkworks, like all these people who work on these black projects, where that money comes from. When you have a budget as big as the United States, as the amount of money that we put into our military budget, and they're saying something like there's about $2.3 trillion that can't be accounted for. They don't know where it went. It just gets sunk into these projects that have basically no congressional oversight, and that these projects go up through Congress basically unimpeded. And if you tried to stop one of these bills for things that had to be signed off by Congress, or one of these projects that go through the committees, nobody knows what they're about. There's no real description on these projects. It's nothing. It's just somebody says sign this, and they sign it.
That money's all going towards Trump's fucking Diet Coke addiction and his 8 hours of TV and his golfing trips.
I love those little headlines you read.
Hilarious.
Who can drink 8 Cokes a day? That's gotta be a lie.
You know what, man? Like that. Have you ever looked into the gut brain connection?
No, I haven't really looked into it, but
like,
I've heard about it.
They're saying like your microbiome, your gut bacteria, right? If that's off, that can cause you to go into depression, dementia, psychosis, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And that's what. Artificial sweeteners like aspartame and stuff like that, those are straight linked to fucking destroying your microbiome in your gut.
Man, I wouldn't doubt it.
Believe it.
Like, well, buddy, crushing 8 of those a fucking day?
I can drink like 2.
I could not drink eight.
That's insane. Is it on average 8? Like, is it like, well, he drank like 6 one day.
You can't believe those news stories. Like he probably drinks 8 a week.
Fake news.
Yeah, who knows?
Fake news.
Anyways.
Oh, but that's the fake news thing, is that's also part of the military industrial complex, because the documentary Unacknowledged makes a point of mentioning that he was Dr. Greer?
Yeah.
Had reports where printed out reports that were disclosed by, I think it was the CIA. And they said that they have plants. They have people in every national news outlet, every underlined. He said he mentions this underlined. They show you a picture of it. Every nationally circulated news outlet. And these people are there and paid to crush, you know, spike, whatever you want to call it, influence articles or information that could be put into circulation that could go against what is considered national security for the United States.
Yeah.
That could somewhat endanger or, you know.
This is the one problem I had with the Unacknowledged, because he says like these big things, like they have plants and all the media, and you're like, hey, I don't doubt it. Like, it sounds like if your plan is to control the news, they probably do. But he always says it, and then he never presents you with any evidence. And he does that quite a bit in the documentary. So
he doesn't produce evidence for anything.
Yeah,
he just has the one guy on. He has the one guy on.
He's from Men in Black 1, and that's about it. That's all I've seen from this fucking Greer guy.
You never watched him though.
All the research I've done, just the reading and shit like that. Right. I want facts.
Okay, well, he does. There is more people on the documentary that really claim for UFOs. Have you guys ever read The Day After Roswell, the book?
No.
No.
His name was Philip Corso, and he was a 4-star general at the time, and I guess he worked at the base Alamogordo, something like that. And he pretty much gives an account. His whole book is his account of what happened right after Roswell, where the body went, like where the bodies went. Supposedly, there was this one document. There's actually in the Guy Hotel or Guy Hotel document on the FBI website. You can search it up, and it's a document that's from just after Roswell. And it says in the document that there were three bodies found. One was still alive, and it gives a description of the craft. And you can actually go search it, and it's the most searched FBI document after this movie, because obviously he presented it. But it's on the website. But it says that it was so-and-so gave an account that there was three bodies. So it doesn't actually say there was three bodies. So that's the only problem with it. But That was one of the big things in the documentary. He's like, Stephen Greer's like, listen, this is the most searched FBI document. It says in New Mexico and Roswell this day, 3 foot tall aliens in metallic cloth, silver suited aliens. Each body was bandaged up after the scene and taken away to different bases. And this guy, Philip Corso, gives an account of how the secrecy was broken up into different branches. And one branch knew about the craft, and one branch knew about the bodies, and they each were responsible for a different portion of the technology. And after like 10 or 15 years of like kind of branching that secrecy through different branches of the intelligence agencies, it kind of got so separated and fragmented that no one really knew what was true and what wasn't, and eventually it just kind of got lost in everything. And till this day, no one really can piece together the whole information. That's pretty much what this guy was saying in his book. Anyone there? Hello?
I don't know.
Yeah, for me,
can one of these fucking ufologists, or whatever the hell they're called, they're coming with all this information, and I really do. I want to buy in. I want to believe them. And then you buy in, you find some stuff you like, and then you do a little bit more scrolling, and then you get an invite to come sit down and meditate with him with aliens for fucking 2 G's. No, man, I can't. I just don't buy this shit. Is there anybody, any one of these fuckers that don't want to try and make money off you?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? And that's what it just wrecks it for me.
So you're jumping right to that? You're jumping right to the negative part of Steve Greer?
I'm a hater. I can't help it.
So I don't know if you guys know this, but Stephen Greer is the head of CSETI, and it's like a conscious search for extraterrestrial intelligence or something. And they get together in groups, and you can pay Dr. Stephen Greer an undetermined amount of money. I can't remember if it was $1,800 or $2,200 or something like that. But there's a whole bunch of accounts of people. You can go there, and he says they go and they all meditate, and then UFOs will show up. And he claims that he gets videotapes, but he's never presented any evidence from his thing.
Fucking at the Joshua Tree.
And supposedly that the people who go, I don't know this for sure at all, but the people who go are supposed to sign a non-disclosure agreement saying whatever they witnessed and talked about, they cannot share with the public. So then there's really no good information coming out of these CSETI meditation programs. So people are just saying he's just using it for money.
For money, yeah, because if you say it's fake, he can sue you.
Yeah. Which is kind of shitty. It kind of seems like a point where he started out legit, and then he's seen the dollar signs again.
Well,
I think the disclosure project was, I think that was legit. Getting all these people together with all these firsthand accounts, and just talking to the press, that's the way to go. You don't present it in a documentary. You just talk to the press and let them make their own decisions. But unfortunately, it was so overshadowed with 9/11 that you got lost instantly.
So is anybody trying to shut this guy down?
Nope.
So
I guess not.
So nobody's trying to paint him as a pedo like Romanchuk or whatever the fuck his name is?
As far as I found, no one's trying to paint him as a pedo.
Oh, Bill Belichick?
Yeah. Steve Romanchuk or whatever the fuck his name is.
I wonder how much it is.
To go to CSETI?
Yeah.
Well, only one of us could go then.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sweet.
Because I'm really
Go to a CSETI and really get the inside scoop, but we probably couldn't.
Well, yeah,
we probably couldn't podcast. We have to sign the agreement.
They were getting sued.
Yeah,
but I'm saying that we could talk about our experience, and I'm sure there's a way around getting sued, and we could just.
Okay, well, let's look into the CSETI, see, because I know they do them in Vancouver sometimes. That's the closest one. So we'll look into it because it is it. You read because you read all this cool stuff. You're like, oh, this guy's for disclosure. He's got all these guys behind him. And then you read something like he's charging people and making them sign agreements. You're like, that doesn't sound right.
So, yeah. Why not? If you're doing this stuff, keep everything above board. Right.
He could really meditate and bring fucking aliens out here, he should be broadcasting that shit for everybody to see say, hey, look, I can. You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense. It's dumb.
You change the world by doing this. I'm fucking Dr. Greer. I invite the rest of the alien theorists out to this field and we meditate and I film it and I got the mics going and we talk about it and we bring in a UFO. We film it in HD 4K or 8K, whatever kind of good camera we have. And we're like, listen, world, we did it. Here's a fucking real UFO.
Yeah, and I'm going to mix up some really good special flavored fucking Kool-Aid. We're all going to drink that shit and we're going to go somewhere.
But yeah, you think if you really are for a full disclosure, you present every finding.
He's not for full disclosure. Yeah. He's making you sign a non-disclosure agreement.
That's what I mean.
It's bullshit.
But his movies are pushing for full disclosure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. How do you watch his movies? Are they out for free or are they?
Yeah, they're for free. Oh. They're on Netflix.
There's no advertisement or anything? Oh, it's on Netflix.
Netflix.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. So it's not free.
Well,
he's making money off his movies, is he not?
Well, if you think about it, say you're a researcher and you're trying to break a story. We live in a world where you need money, so you should.
He's got money. He's an ex fucking Emerge doc.
I'm just saying, like,
if this is something he's truly passionate about.
Well, this is a bad argument you're making. Everyone, if you try and present a topic, if you're trying to get it out to people, you have to at least make enough money to live so you can work to try and get
it out.
He's
probably
right?
got enough money to live off.
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying that's a bad argument to say, like, just because he's making some money.
I don't know. There's nobody, like, there's people out there every day fighting for what they believe in and trying to prove the world and every other fucking aspect other than UFOs. You know what I mean? Like, it's all these ones that we're hearing and discussing, it's all lucrative, man. These guys are all making bank.
Not all, yeah, definitely not all making bank. 100%.
Well, you know what I mean? Like the ones that we're talking about, the ones that I get, there you go. I guess that proves your point. We're talking about them because they're able to put out Netflix shows and shit like that.
Well, I mean, if you don't have any money to present yourself or market yourself, no matter how good your idea, it won't get hurt.
Like I definitely would take the firsthand experience from these guys that have been to space and say, I've seen an alien and that's just it. That stops there. Yes, I can tell you that there are aliens out there.
Yeah, but
that dies there.
But most people won't hear that because it's not presented, right?
Well, yeah, holds more than this guy being like, yeah, we're gonna go meditate and fucking.
No, yeah, I totally agree. But I'm saying like someone needs to put it together, and just because he's put together in a week and then he tried to make money afterwards on like extracurricular stuff is kind of shitty.
Oh, it's like, super shitty.
And so like a lot of UFO people are like, man, you had everything there. You had everything.
Like he needed to keep everything above board, and now he's put himself in a position where you question his ethics, right? And like, and then it makes you think that, you know, well, he's corrupt and he's just maybe he's making this is bullshit.
Yeah,
and that's why he signed that shit. So then, where does the bullshit stop, or where did it start?
Yeah,
was it all bullshit?
So I'm here. It is. If he charged $2,000 and you go and summon a UFO with your mind, which is fucking badass, and you could film it and record it and present it Facebook Live or whatever type of like live feed to the public, I would pay. If he could guarantee, like,
the world would pay.
I'm saying, like, if you could actually prove this, if this was a real thing, you could prove that you could summon UFOs with your mind through consciousness. This is the greatest achievement in the world.
He could be opening up UFO land.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
but because he's keeping it closed, then it just stays secret. And if once
welcome to UFO land, UFO park.
Yeah.
Anyways, they also
I can't remember the theme song.
What the fuck was the?
Yeah,
I was about to start doing the Jurassic Park theme song, and then I couldn't remember it.
Dun 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 dun. Kind of, doesn't it?
That was so bad, but yeah, we all kind of.
It was never as bad. Dun dun.
Anyways, there's a couple more things we should talk about from some of the points he tried to present in his video.
More of this fucking bum.
No, but he tries to present that through this like crashed UFOs, they have this technology of what's called zero point energy, which is pretty much pulling energy out of the vacuum of space. And so when people say that, like, well, that's impossible, right? You can't do that. But then in his video, in an unacknowledged, and he has all these interviews of like astrophysicists and all these like plasma physicists, and all these people are like, listen, the entire universe is 5% physical matter that we can see, suns and planets and asteroids and space particles, only 5%. And then there's like 25% which they think is dark energy, which is like pulling the universe in weird directions. And so about 70 or 75% of this universe, they say, is dark energy. And some of these people on this thing are saying like within 1 square meter of dark energy could power like the United States. That's what they're trying to say. Like there's that the universe is empty, but the emptiness is pure energy is what they're saying. And they're saying that the zero point energy technology somehow uses that dark energy of the universe to propel itself through time. Right?
So you know what's weird? You see, you're talking about zero point energy, and I had a email from the WikiLeaks, the John Podesta emails.
Yeah.
One of the ones is from what's his name? Edgar Mitchell. And it says this: Dear John, because the war in space race is heating up, I felt you should be aware of several factors as you and I schedule our Skype talk. Remember, our nonviolent ETI from the contiguous universe are helping us bring zero point energy to Earth. They will not tolerate any form of military violence on Earth or in space. The following information in italics was shared with me by my colleague, Carl Rosen, who worked closely for several years with Wernher von Braun before his death.
Ooh, cool.
And then it's just this huge email about talking about like the war on for satellite space and stuff, and talks about how we need to like cut this out, because right now there's no rules for war in space, and we need to stop this, because or else we're not going to have this zero point energy.
Right.
It's just weird that you were just talking about that, and I pull up like a WikiLeaks email from like Edgar Mitchell, who we'd already talked about, and John Podesta, and it's talking about Wernher von Braun or whatever his name is.
Right. No, it's weird that if there is an ET presence on the planet and they've been coming here from other points in space, obviously their technology is beyond what we know. So maybe like there is a technology that does harness that type of space, like space-time energy, and actually can just propel itself through space and time.
Well, I mean, there's pretty much like two ways that according to our physics, pretty much there's like two ways to travel through space. There's either you travel, below the speed of light at like relativistic speed, or you have to use some sort of you'd have to use a wormhole, basically, whether it's created by a black hole or whatever or something like that, or you could produce one, or you could find one that naturally occurs, which I don't think we found one. That'd be crazy. But and you would need so much energy, like the energy from a black hole or like a couple stars or something like that, to produce like an artificial wormhole. So if they harness this zero point energy, like you would need some sort of type of alternative energy source that's this powerful to be able to travel through space and that fast, you know? Like I constantly say, if we were to get in a fight, like if an alien race showed up, it would be like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where they would just be like, they wouldn't even care about us. It's like, you guys can't even travel through space. Like, you guys can't even make a wormhole. Wait, you haven't traveled faster than the speed of light? You guys are garbage. We'll just blow your planet up.
You're done, buds.
Done,
yeah,
son.
I mean, we're insects compared to a civilization that could traverse the incredible distances that comprise of space. But if we had access to that technology, even like a little bit of it, like if we had like just a cursory understanding of it, it could be, you know, it would leap us forward so much, and that we could meet our energy demands, which is basically most of what our economies are built on, or just like what it takes to mine the resources that power our electricity to produce food and the necessities for life, things like that. That's how our entire economy is pretty much based around all of that. So if we had like free energy and it costs nothing to produce these things that we use for normal life, or, you know, be able to light our homes or heat our homes, produce food, things like that. If we could do that, like, we'd be fine. There'd be no disparity. And there's where, you know, those people, those whatever you want to call them, shadowy people that sit behind the curtains that are may or may not be controlling our society. They like that. They're like, we're making insane amounts of money and we're going to be here. That's what they do. They don't want us to have that.
No, like that would just, if you had like zero point energy technology and you could, every community could power itself pretty much for free, that's a huge portion of the economy would just collapse. The whole energy sector would just fall. All that infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a book. I don't know if you guys, have you guys read, is it the Forever War by Joe Haldeman?
Haven't read
have
it.
You guys ever read that book?
No.
No, what's it about?
Basically, the humans discover how to travel through space by using like collapsed stars and things like that. But anyways, the first alien race that they encounter they blow up one of our ships. And so basically the entire Earth goes into like war overdrive. And they're like, okay, these aliens are really bad. And they blew up one of our ships. So we need to produce all of this. You need to give yourselves over to the military so we can go fight an intergalactic war, like an interstellar war.
Yeah, you know? Do what we know.
Exactly. You know, it kind of comes down to that the people at the time, I don't want to give away the spoilers if you give it away at the end of the book. Basically, it comes down to, and they talk a lot about this and acknowledge, and I could see it happening. That you have these people who are in charge making decisions, who have all the power, and they're like, well, our entire economy is based on war. And if that we need an enemy that we can focus our, you know, focus that on. If we don't have an enemy, our entire civilization or the way that they have structured civilization collapses. I mean, look at the Roman Empire. Once they had nobody left to fight, they fall in on themselves. You need to have that eternal conflict. You need to have that way to focus your society on something other than the problems that are at hand. Because if they do, then they realize that what's going on inside their society, how they're being controlled, how they're being manipulated, then they lose their power. And those people who are comfortable in their control of society aren't going to give that up.
Right.
And so they would rather have us just go fight third world countries or these shadowy terrorist organizations that you're like, you know, you can never really truly crush them. You know, they just pop up somewhere else,
especially when you're supplying them with the weapons.
Yeah, exactly. And you created the problem. Like they know they made the problem because they're like, oh, you know, you radicalized their faith. And you can't destroy faith. You can't destroy an idea.
Yeah.
As soon as it's gone, if you kill somebody who is, if you kill anybody in like that, those kind of faith based, these terrorist organizations, they automatically become a martyr, and it just self perpetuates. They just keep going. You can't stop. You can't really ever end it. And the companies that are producing the Humvees, the building the guns, building these things. I mean, even Eisenhower. President Eisenhower, when he left office in like 1961, when he left office, his farewell speech was basically warning about this. He's like, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, those companies, whenever we produce a gun, we're taking food out of the mouths of the people who truly need it. Like that energy that you're spending on producing guns to go kill people could be put towards more productive means that can help everybody else.
Dan, you're forgetting that if you kill the people, you don't have to feed the people.
Good point. Of course, counterpoint. Forget about that.
Point, counterpoint.
Devil's advocate.
All right,
so, you know, it's that kind of stuff.
So was there any other main points from Unacknowledged that you guys want to talk about?
No, let's go on to Tom DeLonge and his wacky team of fucking
right.
Tom DeLonge, so wacky team.
So we've been following this Tom DeLonge story for a while. For anyone who doesn't know, he started this thing called To the Stars Academy. And pretty much what it is he says he has a team of scientists and researchers and ex-CIA and military and NASA and Skunk Works people working with him. And they are pretty much trying to build a spaceship and with this free energy or zero-point energy technology.
That could turn into a ball of light and disappear.
Whoosh.
And pretty much their mission is pretty much to give these creative next generation scientists and thinkers an avenue to explore their ideas. However,
I want to buy into this so bad just because I fucking love Tom DeLonge or did anyways.
You did.
Like, yeah. But you know what though? I love Blink 182, Tom DeLonge. No, Angels and Airwaves, Tom DeLonge, go fuck himself.
Fuck off, yeah.
Sucks. It's bullshit.
So, I don't know, Braden, I think you had some points on this, I think, didn't you?
Well, I was so excited. Like, I went to the webpage after... Oh, what the fuck? Oh, there we go. Sorry, as I opened the webpage where I was looking up stuff, it played an ad. I was so excited. I watched the little clip on his To the Stars fucking webpage.
Yeah.
Hooked. I was like, oh man, this is insane, right? Like, this is so cool. And then like 3 minutes into this 4 minute half video, it's like what we're planning to do. And it's talking about all these drives and stuff and this. And then it's like, and we're going to make movies and t-shirts and like a film production company. And I was like, wait, what? Like, why the fuck are you doing that?
Because he's been like, kicked out of Blink 182. He's got nothing else to do now.
So then I was like, so that kind of like that popped my interest. So then I typed in like To the Stars Academy scam and started looking in. So right now, like you can buy common stocks. Like that's what they're asking you to give $200 and you can buy common.
Only in the States. I was like, you know what, $200. Maybe actually $200. I might buy one share just in case.
No. You might even get a T-shirt.
No one put any money into this. It's absolutely a scam. We're all being duped.
That's bullshit.
It has nothing. Come it's on, no Tom, research and development. So it's this company to the fucking Stars Academy in Science is like it's whatever it's in the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. Where it's like filed, you think that with what they're selling, the primary standard industrial classification code would be something along the lines of research and development or, you know, engineering or something cool. Services, motion picture and videotape production. So it's essentially a movie company making movies. So I'm like,
So they didn't register as like a science technology company. It's movies.
No.
Entertainment.
No, it's a movie and production company.
Why would they though? Like, even with Secret Machines or whatever the fuck it's called, like the everything that's done in that book, it was all hit. Like he didn't do any research. It's just years of him coming up with shit. You know what I mean? Like, and he bases the whole reason why he's got the insight on all this information is because somebody high up read his fucking book and was like, oh, that's of all people, okay, we're going to track down Tom DeLonge.
So let's do a quick backtrack here. So his book, yeah, Living Machines?
Or no, Secret Machines.
Secret Machines, I guess, attracted the right people because they're like, oh, he's onto it.
Oh, he knows already.
He's onto it. So we're going to contact this rock star and we're going to get him on board. And we're going to put him on the Joe Rogan Experience and these other like highly publicized alternative media things. And people are going to buy in because it's like, it's Tom DeLonge. He's on Joe Rogan. He's like all these, but why he never ever says, I don't know if anyone hasn't listened to his interview with Joe Rogan, you should go listen to his great podcast because it's pretty funny. Cause it's this whole time, like Joe Rogan is going, so like, what can you tell me about the aliens or the craft or anything? And he's like,
well, I can't tell you about that.
Motherfucker, why not?
If no, we're gonna put you on all these podcasts and in the media and stuff like that, but you can't tell them anything. Just let them know that you know what I mean. You're in.
Okay. But here's the other thing, though. It would be great. It would be great in my head if people actually had found him, Tom DeLonge. They're like, oh, he's got it. He's gonna be our figurehead. This motherfucker started it in the offering for the stocks. If you go down and scroll down to the bottom where it says use of proceeds, the 50 million they're trying to raise, he's going to pay off a loan from his other company, Our Two Dogs Inc., of $600,000. He's going to put $4 million into self-produced cinematic projects. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is it? Why would you do that? Then, not only that, he's also gets in the contract, he's going to make $100,000
every year.
Every year. no matter what. Even if they don't make money.
Super scam.
I know,
it's a super scam.
I know what's happened now. So on their website, if you go to thestarsacademy.com, they've made $222,000 in donations. So $100,000 of that is for his salary.
It's for his salary. Right off the boom. This year, he gets $100,000. Like, to me, I'm like, he wants $50 million to make these cutting edge spacecrafts.
$50 million. They're going to need billions of dollars.
NASA requested $19 billion from the U.S. government for 2017. And Tom is going to build a fucking light machine for $50 million when he's spending like $4 million on making movies and $12 million on projects. Where's his money coming
from? Fucking crowdfunding? Like,
crowdfunding.
Yeah, right here. Invest.
Yeah, you bet. How much money?
They've raised $2,268,000.
Say, but SpaceX.
Only off 2,500 investors, though. It's like $1,000 each.
That's SpaceX all. The number keeps going up is because that's all his fucking Blink-182 residuals just slowly like just moving that number up. Nothing from Angels and Airwaves because they're fucking piss. You know what? This guy's a lunatic. Remember when Angels and Airwaves is coming out? He's like the best band to ever play music, bigger than Zeppelin, he said. And with every song, he said he's writing a fucking novel. There's gonna be a novel to go along with every song. No. Never happened. Songs suck. He said, you know what though? He did say that he was making those comments while he was on fucking painkillers for his back. So, you know, like.
I know what I feel like we're doing tonight is just crushing UFO hope.
Well, dude, the thing is, it's like.
But you have to not.
I hate this shit, man. Because, like, keep everything above board. Like, yeah. Why do this shit? And then you're like, oh, we're going to make movies. I'm like,
what is above board referencing? Sorry. I've never heard this reference before.
You've never heard like.
You heard above board before?
Like public.
Above what board?
Like keeping it out in the open.
What figurative board are we talking about?
That's like a metaphor. This is like, it's open. Anyone can access it. There's no like secrecy. It's not like.
Oh, so it's not hidden under the boards.
It's not hidden under the board. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Telltale heart.
No, no cheating.
All right. See?
It's not hidden under the boards.
All right.
If we would have said hidden under the, not hidden under the boards, it would have made sense. Don't hide your stuff under the boards.
See, I would have known exactly. Right? Speaking of that, we should do a podcast on Edgar Allan Poe. That guy's fucking rad.
Noted.
So listen to this part. I'm scrolling through the offering thing here. I'm going to read this to you. If the offering size were to be less than $5 million and above the $1 million minimum, To the Stars Academy would adjust its use of proceeds by reducing planned growth of employee headcount, reducing operational costs, and slowing down projects or not making investment in projects. The company is also required under the loan to Two Dogs to repay 10% of net proceeds from the funds raised in this offering up to $400,000 in this scenario. So, if,
what?
Okay, so basically what that means is if they can't crowdsource $5 million, basically he's not required to pay any money to do the research that he's saying. He'll collect $400,000 because of the net proceeds have to be paid out to his other company, R2 Dogs, Inc. He'll get $100,000 for his salary, and then he'll run the company at bare bones, at skeleton crew.
So disheartening, man. It's so disheartening because, like, when you first see the team below him, when he's like working with these guys, you're like, man, they seem like a group of people who would probably know how to build some fucking spaceship or something. And then you hear all that and you're like, do you want to go through? Let's go through a few of the people that he has. So he's got this guy, Jim Sullivan, and he was pretty much a senior member of the CIA. And since retirement, he's been a consultant for the CIA. So
what's his name?
Jim Semivan. Semivan.
All right. You want me to tell you what his hit? Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
Just tear it down. Tear it down.
Tear it down.
Okay. So, as you list these people, because in the offering, they're legally obliged to say what these people's, their part of their company is. So, president, chief, and executive officer is Tom DeLonge. he's one of three full-time employees. Only three full-time employees of this this huge venture of his. There's only three full-time employees. The second full-time employee, the chief content officer, is Carrie He's DeLong. And the third full-time employee of To the Stars is Lisa Clifford, the secretary.
Wow.
And Tom DeLong's personal assistant.
Probably cousin.
James Semivan is vice president of operations. Does he work for the company? No, he's a fucking contractor. They're paying him to be this. They're just paying him to
have his face
come in to do this, for to say these things.
Yeah.
Like he has no ties to the company. He's just a contractor they're bringing in.
Okay, I'm gonna listen. Next guy, vice president of science and technology, Dr. Hal Puthoff or Puthoff.
Oh, old Harold Puthoff, eh? Also, contractor.
Oh, but he's got such a cool fucking background.
Yeah, and CEO, let me guess, the next guy.
CEO of EarthTech International. Whatever that, I don't know what that is, but it sounds cool. Are you going with Steve Justice? Aerospace Division Engineer.
Steve Justice isn't even listed on their offering, which makes me think that he's pretty recent.
He's
no longer with the company.
He was no longer with them.
He didn't get his fucking To the Stars t-shirt and he was out.
Well, I'm on their website right now is listing him on the front page of the team portion. He is a retired program director for advanced systems from Lockheed Martin Advanced Development Programs, Skunk Works. I guess he's not. He's not on the payroll though, but he's got his name on the website. Then you got Luis Elizondo, director of global security and special programs, and he's a recently retired U.S. Army working in the U.S. Army in the Department of Defense, and he also worked in counterintelligence as a executive in counterintelligence and director of national intelligence as a former special agent in charge. He's conducted highly super sensitive espionage and terrorism investigations around the world. He's on their website.
I wonder if he knows he's on their website.
That was one of the guys. he was one of the guys who was on stage with him.
Oh shit!
So like these guys, like
maybe they're just fucking Blink-182 fans. They're like, oh fuck,
that might have been what it was.
I can't help it. Of course, Tom DeLonge.
These guys are old. These guys are way older though. These are all retired guys.
You never know.
No one like
they're all punks at heart. You never know.
They're sex
buddy. If
sex
Tom DeLonge
fans,
called me up, was like, "Hey, listen, man, I need you to come on stage with me, talk about some bullshit."
Give me $10,000.
Not even. I'll do it for free, Tom. I love you, or used to.
Yeah, and then you keep going down the list, like Christopher Mellon, private equity and equity investor. And you're like, oh, he's got some good big money behind him.
Oh, I saw his name there somewhere.
I was like, oh, he's got BA of economics. He's got all this good stuff. He's a great intelligence officer. Like, sweet.
Hold on. Oh, my goodness.
My goodness.
Hold on. I got to pull up a calculator here to figure out a math on this ridiculous thing here I just read.
Hold it's going to take a while. Fuck.
Okay.
Want to take a pause?
This doesn't have enough fingers.
No, I don't have enough fingers. This is more than 10.
Take your socks off, bud. Start counting
toes.
Yeah, it
has more fingers and toes. 18. So one share is worth $5.
See, as Braden's doing this math, like, you see the beautiful mind, all the fucking numbers and shit are all fucking...
just whizzing across his brain.
His head. Fucking Sherlock music's playing. He's
it's not even numbers. It's like little stick figures of people. Like,
get the fuck out of here. There's no way. Okay, I got to go back to this page. It's in the offering. It tells the shares how they break down so far of who owns what shares. Right? 1,800 shares. Okay. So at $5 a share, you can buy shares for $500 or $5 each per share. Right?
Right.
Right.
That's fine.
So $500 a share.
No, $5 a share. Did you say $5?
$5 a share.
$5 a share. Oh, sorry.
$5 is one share. So I go right. Eight. Okay. So then $5 is one share. So if you owned. Yeah. Okay. So 1,800 shares times five. Okay. James Semivan, who we were just talking about.
Yeah.
He's only put $9,000 into this company.
He put $9,000 in?
That's it.
What's his?
That's still more than I thought he would have.
What's his guaranteed ROI? Does it say how much he's supposed to get back?
I can't see it on this, but between him and Harold E. Putoff, they've only put in $18,000.
Wow,
that's it.
That costs less than the music studio here.
Well, let's say you put your name. Tom's comes up to you and he says, "Hey, put your name on this." Right, like I'll give you give me $18,000, but I'm gonna get $100,000 in royalty from this crowdfunding thing, and I'll give you 20 G's cash, cover your initial investment.
Right.
Right, like you do whatever you fucking want.
Anyways, okay, well.
Scam, man. Let's start something like this.
We're not rock stars. We don't. You know what I mean? We get.
Yeah, it's true. We don't have any pull.
You guys just give us money. Everyone donate $5 a share, and we'll promise to build you a spaceship. That's pretty much what's happened here.
Sally's a carpenter. You can do it.
I can build a great wooden spaceship.
Yeah, why not?
Great wooden spaceship coming up, boys.
See, just like it's made of cardboard with like little like desk chairs he found at the dump, and Brayden's in like one of those little like 1930s aviation caps and goggles.
You're like, put on this helmet. You'll need this. You'll need
it. Silver suits and helmets, man. That's all you
go. Oh, yeah. We got silver suits. It'll work, right? We'll just get some spandex silver suits. And then
I'll fucking land, hit my head. I'll be seeing Gimli, the Travelocity gnome. Fucking Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyways, yeah, we fucking pretty much just crushed some UFO hope tonight, but.
It is. It was disappointing.
Hey, that's for a good cause. That is Tom DeLonge. There's probably a lot of people who are like, yeah, that's a good thing. And like, no, it's not.
No, like, okay, with Unacknowledged, there's a lot of cool interviews and a lot of things with astronauts
It is a fun watch. Yeah.
It's, I don't think the documentary is so much about UFOs that it's more about like the culture of secrecy in the United States, the way that the government works and how that there are forces inside the government that are shaping the way that policy is made. And if you look at a lot of things now today, like if you make the connections, I think it reaches as far as the net neutrality. Like if you can make the connection there, like there are people who want to control. That's another way for these big companies to control media, outlet. Because the internet was like one of the few places where you could put out ideas out there, and even if they're weird as whatever, nobody really can say anything. But now these companies that are pretty much the internet companies that are deregulated, now they have no oversight. And even if you think government is bad, it's not as bad as that there's no government oversight, because that's what net neutrality, one of the bills inside the bill was that they could regulate internet as a utility. It was something that was like water. It was something like, you know, electricity, and the companies couldn't change that and like their services and things like that. But now they can, and now they can charge you or slow down your access to sites that they don't want you to see, or that the people who are in charge don't want you to see. And there's a lot of stuff that might fall on the wayside and you won't be able to get access to, you know, without having to pay more.
Yeah. I hope it just stays the same. Because it got voted for in Congress, right?
Well,
it can still be appealed.
You guys will be fine. Canada will be Canada's fine for a while. Fine. You guys will be okay. But it's the U.S. This is like, if this is, I mean, yeah, it's still tied up. Like there's still some stuff, like the things are still tied up, might get tied up in the courts and things like that. But if this passes, like this is a big step into, I mean, this basically is a deregulation bill, and deregulation for companies is usually almost always bad.
Someone always just make more money. There's no like nothing passes that makes people less money ever.
Yeah, these companies, they didn't spend $61 million on this bill for nothing. Yeah. They want that cash. They want your internet.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
That's a whole other topic, but that is pretty fucking.
We also need to speak like next time. We should do real news too, other than space news, and
real news.
Fucking Trump. What the fuck? Like, what do you honestly think you're going to accomplish by just walking in and be like, yeah, you know what? Jerusalem, it's the new capital of Israel. Suck it.
Oh, that's a whole other thing.
Holy fuck. Well, that goes to just show there's money in war. And what do you think he's doing by walking in there and fucking pissing on them like that?
That's a whole
fucking can of worms
there. That's fucking craziness. Like, that's...
Well, he's the first... It's just like so many people could have done it in the past because it's been like that way for... Like, Jerusalem's been the capital of Israel for 50 years. They said it, but no one's recognized it, right?
Well,
and now it's just like he's the first... He's like, okay, we're going to move our stuff there. It's the capital.
There's a whole article of like the perpetuating of like the Gaza and the West Bank as like basically just an open air prison. That's
just
what it is.
Just dumped fucking gasoline and threw a match.
Yeah, it's just that's just over there is just so different. Well, it's crazy.
It's already as destabilized as fucking possible, and then you just went in there and made things worse. Like,
it's a 50-year
war. Somebody's making money. People making bombs are making money.
The states backs all. They give all the weapons to Israel, right? So Israel's now got to beef up their defenses.
Oh, fuck. The U.S. is always. Like, we are always going to be perpetually screwed over there as long as we don't, because like I said, like most, if you read a lot of the academic articles and stuff about what people have seen over in like those West Bank settlements and things like that in the Gaza Strip, it's terrible. And they're like, this is the U.S. is basically encouraging, you know, we don't measure the way that the United States measures like the human rights that these people have. These people in the West Bank, they're basically are ruled over by Israel. I'm not going super nutso, but I'm just saying that the way the policy is drawn up is that these people are not officially citizens. They're not Israelis, and they're not considered citizens on their own. They almost have no self-autonomy. They have no self-governance. It's basically just prison. Like, they're all just kept there. And that Israel is constantly trying to set up settlements inside, and most of these settlements, they're like they would work well if they worked in areas that were not predominantly Palestinian, that these people were already. But a lot of these people who go into these settlements are super religious, and they put their settlements right in the middle of like the historically important parts of the Gaza Strip, West Bank, and things like that, and it automatically creates an atmosphere of like harassment, and it keeps things going, and that Israel is. Happy to see that happen.
I think that's one of the topics I think we should bring on an expert who like really researched, because it's so insane. Over
it's real tied up.
You got someone?
There's a lot.
Guy, a buddy of mine I used to work with in Karamias. He's working in Van now. He's
gone down the rabbit hole.
He's got fucking all these crazy fake names, and he's always on Twitter.
Let's get him on, because
he's got a couple. Like, he used to volunteer out in the Gaza Strip and stuff like that. As a medic, and he's got some really good friends that are still there, still working, and he gets the inside scoop.
Crazy. Yeah.
He'd be cool to have on.
Does he have anything hidden under the boards?
Oh yeah. Lots. Too much, probably.
Okay, let's
wrap this one up. We got to get some after hours business.
Okay, let's read some podcast reviews, because it's been a few.
Yeah.
So 10-4. My phone died, so it's all you know.
I was going to say we should read like 5, but I don't want to read 5.
No.
Okay, I'll read a few, because I think we got like 6 or 7 that we can read, so we'll save some.
I got one up right now.
Do you?
Yeah. I really like listening to that Andrew guy's voice. It's really sexy, and he's really intelligent, and just want to say thank you to him for being part of the podcast.
Fuck, was that written by Mr. Kelowna?
yeah, you hear that, Tron? You should write me a fucking review just for your boy. I'd like that.
I don't get the joke, but it sounds funny.
You know my buddy Tyrone, right?
I don't know Mr. Kelowna, though.
That's his fucking handle.
That guy's
fucking Instagram famous.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's getting a shout out on. He's going to love it. Yeah. But
there you go. Mr. Kelowna.
One of my best friends. And I've been telling him to listen to the podcast for fucking ever. And no, I'm fucking nerds. You know what I mean? Just wants nothing to do with it.
Nerds.
Guy fucking listens to his first podcast. It doesn't even make it through. I'm getting fucking 45 text messages. Well, what do you think when you were talking about this, man? Like, what happened there? And I'm fucking like, we did that a year ago, man. I don't even remember talking about it. But no, it's cool. I'm glad. Love you, buddy. I'm glad you're a fan.
All right. There you go. Big shout out for Tron, Mr. Kelowna.
Mr. Kelowna, yeah.
Okay, we got some reviews here. I'll read a couple. This one's just, hey, 5 stars from Thebo19 from USA. You guys make my girlfriend hate me. Good show, though.
Cool. Neat.
Okay, mm-hmm. Another review. Fun, but gets lost at times. Well.
Oh.
What? That
sums it up.
Say,
what gave, are we talking about? Stars did we get?
He still gave 5 stars.
We have, laser focus on this show. I don't know what this is
from,
talking about.
From Flowios from USA. I heard about the show on Hysteria 51. Another great podcast. Check it out. Glad I did. It's fun. You guys ramble on a lot, though, and get off topic. But it's usually fun, and I don't mind, except for Mr. Conspiracy. This is great.
No.
He is a mouth breather and brings the show down. I vote ditch him for good. Ditch him for good. Oh, man. He gave 5 stars, though, so he gets red. He likes
it. Make him cry.
Okay, I'll do one more, and then we'll save the rest for the next podcast. Ronald McPonald, 5 stars, USA.
That's a good name.
Y2 Carl, 26. I love this crew, and these guys are hilarious, informed, and also full of shit. I think he meant shit. He put beep in brackets, but I'm going to say shit. Full of shit.
We are definitely full of shit.
You can't swear in the reviews. That's right. You can't swear in the reviews. I mean beer. From the Canadian accents to the beer recommendations to the crazy but compelling theories, ATT has it all in the bag for me. A. El Nasty. Sharp Tarp have entered my lexicon.
Yeah.
Which makes people think I'm insane. Enjoy the ride and keep your eyes on the skies. Awesome.
That was a good one.
That was great. That was funny.
Yeah, I like that.
That was some good reviews there.
Fucking rights. Wow. I don't know.
Thanks, guys.
I take anything 5 stars, a good review.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of low star rankings. Maybe we'll read them on After Hours.
Yeah, I'd like to. I'm here.
Some people are just
hilarious.
Social justice warriors.
Fuck them.
We said one thing. I'll celebrate now because it's kind of funny. One time Dan said Russia and America are going to Eiffel Tower China. As a joke, kind of. And someone called us out on it.
Kind of.
And they
called us racist.
Off the French?
They call us racist.
Wait, how is that racist?
What? I don't know. They just called us racist. I was
aren't
like,
you Asian?
I don't think they got racist.
They didn't get some type of Asian?
No, he's in Asia.
Oh, that makes sense.
They actually said that. It was a negative review. It wasn't in iTunes. It was in Stitcher or something. Just because a guy from Southeast Asia doesn't mean he can be racist to Asian people. When he said USA and Russia got Eiffel Tower, China, I thought it was racist. And I was like, I don't think you got what he meant.
How is it
racist? Yeah, I was like, I don't think you got what he meant.
I don't. No, that is not. I can't. I don't think he knows what racist means.
No. Some people hear a thing, and because they're like.
Is he implying that is he saying that I am implying that because they're an Asian country, they perform somewhat strange, I guess, non
that they want to get pig roasted, is
sex
that what you're
acts to say? like
no,
that's no.
Those are pretty much the only negative reviews we get when people are like just don't get what we mean or the humor behind it. So
misunderstanding. I understand. I forgive him.
Anyways, I think
we should Eiffel Tower his China loving ass.
Jesus.
Okay.
Anyways.
All right. Gotta end the podcast now.
You should keep that one under the fucking boards.
I think.
Right? Tuck that one safely under the boards.
I actually think it was a girl. So.
Oh, okay. Does that make it? Now that's sexist.
Now it's sexist.
All right. Now you're getting it sexist.
I mean, I guess.
Let's put this entire fucking podcast under the boards. Time to sign out.
This is After Hours. We gotta get rid of this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that's a girl, I take back that whole Eiffel Tower comment. In this landscape of sexual assault, I don't want to. If it was a man, that's fine.
It could be a homosexual sex act. Like Eiffel Towering is not just, you know.
This is where they mean when we get lost. I think this is
when we get lost.
We're slowly just dropping stars. Every comment, stars are just dropping.
Let's end this one before we get too many one-star reviews. Yeah. Find us everywhere, Twitter, support us on Patreon, Instagram, and we're everywhere. Look us up, #, look us up.
For Patreon, we're talking about our Dungeons & Dragons characters, and it's going to be fun. That's all I got to say.
And as always, live long and prolapse.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit hyland.com.